Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the L.A. Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And I'm Leo. And tonight we got a lot of news for you. A lot of news.
And yeah, there are all kinds of things going on.
Oh, man. Yeah. But, you know, one of the biggest culprit things that I want to start the show off tonight is it's a little bit longer. It's about 15 minutes. But this guy explains the whole Obama thing.
Oh, the Obamacare?
The Obamacare thing. Yeah, I mean, once you listen to this thing, you got to realize what, you know.
Well, just let people listen to it, and they can make up their own mind.
Yeah, I will. And I want to do that. So I'm sure I find yours. This guy named Carl Dettinger.
Now, who is he?
He is a private owner of a company, former company, and he's gone through all the things, and he's an expert on this Obamacare.
I'm looking forward to hearing that.
Very, very good. And it says Obamacare could be pulled before the end of the year.
Well, let's find out why he says that.
When you see this, he's being interviewed by a radio guy.
Okay.
Okay. But, yeah, I thought this was very, really good. It's about 13, 14 minutes.
Why don't you turn that
on? He's built a system that is predicated on monopoly control of pricing, such that it intentionally bankrupts anybody that doesn't buy these insurance products, and then you force everybody to do it. And when the insurance industry ran out of ways to make this scam work, because younger people simply said, you know what, the odds of me getting seriously ill where I'm going to need this is 0.1%. I'll roll the dice because the cost is too high.
What the president needed was, instead of having somebody to make his system work, you know, God bless the people with pre-existing conditions, but to make his system work, he needs, you know, 22-year-old Sally Smith that says, hey, I'm healthy as a horse, and I'm not going to need health care for, I don't know, unless I have a car wreck, and I'm willing to pay $85 each and every month to help out my president. Is that going to happen?
No, and the reason is that even if you have a car wreck, your car insurance has PIP protection in it in most states, which is injury protections for exactly that reason, is you might have a injury as a result of a car wreck. So what you're basically doing is, the insurance companies, along with the rest of the medical industry, has run this extraction scam, which is essentially an extortion racket. It's legal, but it's an extortion racket. It's the last 20 or 30 years. And as they've done so, they've ratcheted up ever higher the amount of GDP that they take in as a percentage. As they did that, younger people have said, I'm not going to participate in paying into this in advance because financially it doesn't make any sense. Okay, the actuarial risk of me eating this doesn't justify the cost. Now Obamacare comes along and says, I'm going to shove a gun up your butt and make you buy it under pain of a fine because it's the only way to continue the scam. All right? So Obamacare is not about covering people. It's about force. It is about forcing people to make uneconomic decisions because the cartels in the medical industry have run out of the ability to do so by any means other than force. So what you've got now is a system that rolls out that doesn't work, right? So now Sally, the 20-year-old, tries to go online to find out how bad this is really going to be with the subsidies and the cost shifting and all the other things, and she can't get a price. She's healthy. She has no reason on God's green earth to come back. So this makes the problem 100 times worse because the only person who's going to sit there in front of the computer and hammer on that enter key and that mouse click to try to get through is the guy that has AIDS because he desperately needs health care. The person who doesn't need health care, they'll try once, maybe twice. After that, they're going to say, you know what, bite me, and they walk away. Now you've got a huge problem because the only people that enroll are the people that are going to crash the system if everyone else doesn't show up. So my guess is that of the people who have enrolled, the vast majority of them are those that are very heavy users. Now let me add to that a little bit. One of the things that I found out about just shortly quickly before the site launched, because we had the so-called navigators coming around in our area talking to us about how wonderful this plan was, and we were all going to benefit, this and that, and everything. Well, a friend of mine went to one of their meetings and found out that there's only one company in our county that's going to sell these policies. Now, you used to be able to buy health insurance across your entire state. All right, you couldn't buy outside your state, but you could buy across the entire state. And there were typically a couple of dozen companies that sold policies. Even in a, you know, a state like Florida, we have, you know, several million residents. But even in a state like Florida that has really weird insurance-related laws, there were still a half dozen firms that you could buy health policies from. There is exactly one in my county that I can buy a policy from under Obamacare. It's split into both a PPO and HMO, but it's one firm. It's Blue Cross. That's it. So just recently in the last few days, they changed the site. You used to have to register to get a price. Now you can actually browse first, but it won't tell you what subsidies you might get. It just gives you the price. So I went and I looked. I currently have a catastrophic policy. That's all it covers. And in another year or year and a half, it will become ineligible because it doesn't cover all the things that Obamacare says it has to cover. For example, it doesn't cover maternity for me. Now, I can't imagine why I would need maternity coverage, but Obamacare says I, as a man, have to have maternity coverage because someday I might have an artificial uterus and have a baby. So this coverage has to be included in the policy. Well, in my catastrophic policy, maternity is not covered. Of course, as a man, I would never have a need for maternity coverage in the first place. So that policy is, because it renewed prior to the end of the year, it is okay for them to continue to offer it for next year, but after that it will disappear like a pumpkin. And people are already starting to get these letters saying that your coverage is going to be non-renewed, and this is why. So I went and I looked at the price. Would you believe, and I found this hard to believe, that the bronze plan that has these additional coverages, but has potentially higher out-of-pocket costs than my CAT policy, because as a catastrophic policy, that's what it is. It's in case of catastrophe. I cover a substantial amount of money, and, you know, if it happens, it's actually cheaper for me as a 50-year-old to buy an Obamacare policy than it is to keep my CAT policy. Not by a lot, but it is. It's cheaper. Now, I'm healthy. I have no pre-existing condition. I don't have diabetes. I don't have an elevated A1C. I don't have cancer. I have no history of any of these nasty diseases in my past. My medical record is clean. And that's the basis under which my CAT policy was underwritten. So if it's cheaper for me, and I'm a nominally healthy 50-year-old guy, how much more does the 20-year-old have to get screwed blind in order to cover the implied subsidy that's in my price? Because it's large. My current policy is personally and medically underwritten. It was at the time it was issued. So I'm in the low-risk part of the curve, although based on age I'm not, of course, because I'm older now than I was when I got it. But this means that the young people, their policies are going to be absolutely outrageous. And what I haven't done is compared against that because I'm not 25. I can't, you know, I don't have a baseline policy from another company to compare against. But I can get those quotes, and I can tell you from when I ran my internet company that they are 400% and 500% higher than what I was being quoted for that coverage for people that were in my employ during that time. Because I, you know, I've gone and I've looked at the numbers, and they're hideously more expensive. No one is going to willingly take that on.
Well, let's just say that the internet, which is a, as the president says, you know, not as smooth as I thought it should be. Okay, it was a disaster, but okay, what it comes down to is what you just talked about. How much do I get? What do I need? And how much do I have to pay for this? And you were telling me in the pre-interview the other day when I set this up, you said, hey, if enough young people don't get involved in this, this thing could implode before the end of the year. This whole
It's not that it could. It will. Because
Tell me about what. Why is it critical right now to get all these young people into the system?
The actuarial models under which these rates were set, that they're being sold at right now, these policies are being sold at, are predicated upon the uptake being substantial among those young people because they won't pay the fine. In other words, they'll choose to buy the insurance instead of paying the fine. If that does not happen for any reason whatsoever, you're going to end up with the only people in the group being similar to a particular person that I had working for me when I was running my company that cost my firm over $700 a month to insure. Now, this was not someone who was critically ill, but it was someone who had a couple of pre-existing conditions and was on a fairly expensive medication. And it was a $700 a month direct expense. When you look at, and that, by the way, is not the, the catastrophe situation of somebody who has a serious pre-existing condition that renders them unable to work, okay, or so, you know, or they're working but their health is, you know, real iffy, and, you know, I mean, someone, for example, has HIV, okay, where you've got the potential for a $20,000 or $30,000 a year expense coming back out of these programs. Well, the company cannot lose $20,000 per customer and stay in business. So what's going to happen is people are going to come into these exchanges with these pre-existing conditions. And if the young people do not show up, your first year coverage may cost you $400 or $500 a month, say, for example, for a relatively, you know, and by the way, if you're a smoker, it's twice as bad, okay, because they can double the rates for smokers.
So wait a minute. Let me just get this point clarified, Carl. If you're a smoker, they can charge you double.
Yeah, and that's one of the problems is that you've got two differentiating factors. One is whether you're a smoker, you use tobacco or not. And the second is your age. But there's a cap on the multiplier that can be applied for age. All right? As, and there's also a differential range that can be applied for smoking. And this is all set forth in the law. So there isn't, this isn't about what the actuarial numbers show. This is about what the law says you have to charge. So what happens is this. Let's say that we don't get any 25-year-old healthy people that show up for the exchanges. All we have is sick 50-year-olds that have HIV, smoke, and or have cancer, okay, or have had cancer or some other serious health condition. Now, the next year, when these policies renew, the rates will double or more across the board because otherwise the company is going to go bankrupt. It is going to pay out more than it takes in premiums, and they will go bankrupt. Now, think about this if you're a 20-year-old. Let's say that your premium today under Obamacare is $200 a month, okay? And you say, well, you know, gee, if I went and bought an individual policy, it'd be $50 a month, right? Four times as expensive. Next year, it's $400. Are you going to sign up, or are you going to pay the fine? Obviously, you're going to pay the fine, right? I mean, because at some point, someone's going to say, wait a minute, $4,000 for nothing? I don't think so.
Well, you were talking,
it's going to go down.
You were talking that if enough people don't sign up right now, forget about next year, that the whole thing could implode. Is that, will you explain that to me?
Yeah.
Why it's so critical?
Well, sure, it's very simple. If you take in $10,000 worth of premiums as a company and you pay out $20,000 worth of benefits, you're out of business.
Right.
And so these payers, if they don't sign up in great numbers and early and often, you're saying you're not going to have to wait till next year. A lot of these plans will just go under. The whole system will go under.
The whole system will blow up. And then the final death throes of this will be that the companies will do everything in their power to prevent actually having to pay claims. So they will delay. If you go into the hospital and you get a cancer diagnosis, they'll say, well, you know, we'll start your radiation treatment in 6 months. Well, you'll be dead in 6 months. All right, so, I mean, they will do everything in their power to, you know, to avoid bankruptcy, obviously. But what's going to happen is you're not going to get what you bought because you can't squeeze blood out of a stone. It's not possible to, you know, to take that kind of red ink and put it on a balance sheet and stay in business. It won't happen. So this is the issue that you have is that what Congress calculated rather coldly is that they could shove a gun up young people's backs and make them fork up the money. There were two problems with this analysis from the beginning. The first is they have no reason to buy today. Okay, and the fine is an insufficient motivation because it is a small fraction of the premium. If I have to choose to pay the fine or buy coverage I'm not going to use, I will pay the fine because the fine is less than buying something that has no value to me. All right, that's not, there's nothing complicated about that. It's easy. But the second problem, which is far more insidious, is that once you set this precedent, then what ends up happening is that the medical monopolies are able to expand to fill supply on price. So price goes up instead of down because competition has been destroyed. I no longer have six companies that could be potentially hammering the hospitals in my county to lower prices. I have one company that may very well conspire with the hospitals to raise prices because now I have a vertical integration across the entire, you know, panoply of healthcare. This is not going to bring down costs. This is going to accelerate costs.
What do you think of that?
Well,
it made a lot of sense, didn't it? Yeah, I really thought that.
Yeah, because that's exactly the same thing that I was complaining about somebody too. Yeah. I was telling them that it's too expensive. People aren't going to take it. Well, he said, well, as soon as all those young people sign up, the price will come down. I said, and why should they sign up?
Yeah.
What are they going to get for that?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
And I said, it's too expensive. Why should they?
Yeah, you see, back in 19, back in July 16th, 2009, he says, let me be exactly clear. Obama stated this. Let me be exactly clear about what health care reform means to you. First of all, if you've got health insurance, you like your doctor, you can like your plan, you can keep your doctor.
You can keep your plan. Nobody is talking about taking that away from you.
That's
not true.
Well, now he's saying that, you know.
He still said that the other day.
Yeah, he still said that. And it's not true. And the crazy thing is, right now, 16 million Americans are losing their current health insurance and current doctors because of Obamacare requirements. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
People are losing it everywhere. You know, it's the guy's a lying son of a bitch.
He just doesn't tell the truth about anything.
No. And I covered this. There's another thing I think I wanted to talk about in this Obamacare craziness. Let's see if I can find it. Okay, there's a lot more stuff going on. Oh, here's another one. This one.
Well, you know what? If it goes bankrupt, they just have to print more money.
Oh, yeah.
You won't hear about that.
No, you won't hear about that. But, yeah, I got a lot of stuff here tonight that are really kind of important to bring up, and I want to do this. But I thought this one might be interesting to you since we're on the Obama, kick Obama's ass kick. This really just destroyed me when I read it.
This is by
Before It's News.
Oh.
Believe it or not, they're more or less a liberal. They're more of an independent.
Hello, it says, meet 72 types of Americans that are considered potential terrorists by the
Obama administration. Yeah,
okay.
When you see this, you'll knock yourself out.
Are you a conservative, a libertarian, a Christian, or a gun owner? Are you opposed to abortion, globalism, communism, illegal immigration, United Nations, and the New World Order? Do you believe in conspiracy theories? Do you believe that we are living in the end times, or do you ever visit alternative news websites such as this one? If you answered yes to any of those questions, you are a potential terrorist, according to the official U.S. government document. At one time, the term terrorist was used very narrowly. The government applied that label to people like Osama bin Laden and other Islamic jihadists. But now the Obama administration is removing all references to Islam from terror training materials, and instead the term terrorist is being applied to large groups of American citizens.
And if you are a terrorist, that means that you have no rights, and the government can treat you just like it treats the terrorists that are being held at Guantanamo Bay. So if you belong to a group of people that is now being referred to as potential terrorists, please don't take it as a joke. The first step to prosecuting any group of people is to demonize them. The right now large groups of peaceful, law-abiding citizens are being ruthlessly demonized. Below is a list of 72 types of Americans that are considered to be extremists and potential terrorists. an official U.S. government document. To see the original source documents for each point, it refers you to each site. But let's go to this one. Number one, those that talk about individual liberties are considered potential terrorists.
Those that advocate the state's rights.
Potential terrorists. Those that want to make the world a better place are potential terrorists.
The colonists who sought to free themselves from British rule
are potential terrorists.
Those that are interested in defeating the communists
are potential terrorists.
Those that believe that the interests of one's own nation are separate from the interests of other nations or the common interests of all nations
is a terrorist.
Anyone that holds a political ideology that considers the state to be unnecessary, harmful, or undesirable
is a terrorist.
Anyone that possesses an intolerance toward other religions
is seriously a terrorist.
Those that take action to fight against the exploitation of the environment or animals
is a terrorist.
Anyone that's anti-gay, anti-immigrant, anti-Muslim
is a terrorist.
The Patriot Movement, they're terrorists.
Are terrorists.
Opposition to equal rights for gays and lesbians.
Terrorists.
Members of the Family Research Council.
Terrorists.
Members of the Family American Family Association.
Terrorists.
Those that believe that Mexico, Canada, and the United States are secretly planning to merge into a European Union-like entity will be known as the North American Union.
Terrorists, absolutely terrorists.
Members of the American Border Patrol and American Patrol.
Members of the American Border Patrol are, and American Patrol are terrorists.
Members of the Federation for American Immigration.
Terrorists.
Members of the Tennessee Freedom Coalition.
Terrorists.
Members of the Christian Action Network.
Absolutely terrorists.
Anyone that is opposed to the New World Order
is a terrorist.
Anyone that is engaged in conspiracy theorizing.
Oh, definitely terrorists.
Anyone that is opposed to Agenda 21.
Terrorists.
Anyone that is concerned about FEMA camps.
Terrorists and jihadists.
Anyone that fears impending gun control or weapon confiscation.
Oh, my God, they're terrorists.
How long is this list? It just goes
72.
On. 72. Oh, I don't think
the
I can
The militia movement, the sovereign citizen movement, those that don't think they should have to pay taxes, anyone that complains about bias, anyone that believes in government conspiracies to the point of paranoia, anyone that is frustrated with mainstream ideologies, anyone that visits extreme website blogs, anyone that establishes website blogs to display extremist views, anyone that attends rallies for extremist causes, anyone that exhibits extreme religious intolerance, anyone that is personally connected with a grievance, anyone that suddenly acquires weapons, anyone that organizes protests inspired by extremist ideology, militia or unorganized militia, general right-wing extremists, citizens that have bumper stickers that are patriotic or anti-UN, okay, those that refer to any army of God, those that are fiercely nationalistic as opposed to universal and international in orientation, those that are anti-global, those that are suspicious of centralized federal authority, those that are reverent of individual liberty, those that believe in conspiracy theories, those that have a belief that one's personal or national way of life is under attack, those that possess a belief and a need to be prepared for an attack either by participating in a paramilitary preparation or training or survivalism, those that would impose strict religious tenets on or laws on society.
Those that would insert religion into the political sphere, anyone that would seek to politicize religion, those that have supported political movements for autonomy, anyone that's anti-abortion, anyone that's anti-Catholic, anyone that's anti-nuclear, right-wing extremists, returning veterans, those concerned about illegal immigration, those that believe in the right to bear arms, anyone that is engaged in ammunition stockpiling, anyone that exhibits fear of communist regimes, anti-abortion activists, those that are against illegal immigration.
Let's see, those that are,
those that talk about the New World Order in a derogatory manner, those that have negative views of the United Nations, those that are opposed to the collection of federal income taxes, those that supported former presidential candidates Ron Paul, Chuck Baldwin, or Bob Barr, those that display the Gadsden flag, don't tread on me, those that believe in end times prophecies, and evangelical Christians. Oh, my goodness.
I know. The group of people in this list above are considered problems that need to be dealt with. And some of the documents referenced above, members of the military are specifically warned not to have anything to do with such groups. We are moving into a very dangerous time in American history. You can now be considered a potential terrorist just because of your religious or political beliefs. And free speech is becoming a thing of the past, and we are rapidly becoming an Orwellian society that is the exact opposite of what our founding fathers intended. Please pray for the United States of America. We definitely need it. Wow. Isn't that a sick thing? It's a true statement, folks. And those are all, I'm quoting it before it's news.com. Check that out. I'll tell you something. You know, one of the most sickening things I heard today is, here's the guy. This is so funny. You're going to love this. You know, MSNBC has got like almost zero ratings. It's the lowest rated news program in the entire world, next to Al Jazeera, U.S. Al Jazeera. Right? But the fun thing about this one is I got to read this. They hired this new guy, Ronan something or other. Probably won't bring this up because I'm roasting it.
Uh-huh.
I really hate MSNBC, so the new MSNBC host, Ronan Farrow, says the Clintons represent a style of honesty that the public craves.
Oh, that's Mia Farrow's son.
Is it?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my Christ. That probably figures what's going on.
He's the one, Frank Sinatra.
He's not Woody Allen's son, is he?
Well, she kind of indicated that Frank Sinatra is his father.
Oh, maybe. But
Woody Allen thought he was.
Let's read this craziness. This guy just got hired for MSNBC, right?
Mm-hmm.
And host Ronan Farrow appears on a cycle on Monday where he weighed in with his thoughts on a variety of political issues. Asked about President Bill Clinton and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's political prospects, Farrow said that the former first couple represents a style of honesty the public craves.
Oh, my God.
And when Farrow was asked about the Clintons' evolution into the issues of gay marriage, Farrow said that he thinks the public has viewed their shift in opinion as an honest and refreshing one. And what do you think that evolution tells us about the ability to move from the 90s to now? The guy says, and he says, they're nimble politicians, and also they represent a style of honesty the public craves. Look, God, the guy makes me sick. The guy, his statements make you sick. And he says that, when a politician honestly changes their mind on a policy issue and explains that to the policy, the public, they are often embraced. All right? It is so sick that somebody age would be so stupid.
Well, I don't know whether all that was taking out a contest. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, I don't think so.
I don't know.
No,
he's not dumb. That's why I think that.
Yeah, but they don't hire. You know, the MSNBC hire like people like Rachel Maddow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's a raving lesbian, and you know she's just like whatever, and you know, and she comes out with a lot of ridiculous statements.
Now they got
this guy who says that Hillary and Bill are honest politicians.
I mean, really?
Come on, folks. It's like, who are you kidding? All right? Mia Farrow's son. All right. And maybe Woody Allen's son.
No, I don't think so.
No, maybe not.
Take a look at him. Do you think he looks like Woody Allen? Woody Allen's the holiest guy I've ever seen.
Yeah, but, you know, he looks like his mother, I guess.
God, he was
Oh, you know what? This lying SOB is, you know, it turns out Obama approved the wiretapping 3 years ago on
oh,
Merkel.
Sure.
Did you know that?
I read that.
Did you read that? I thought it was so interesting. That's not a telegraph.
I read that the other day.
Oh, you didn't?
Yes, I did. I read it.
No, you didn't.
I heard it on the radio.
Well, you know, you heard it on the radio, but we didn't read it yet.
No.
It only came out yesterday.
I heard it yesterday or the day before on the radio.
Yeah, well, anyway.
That he had approved that a long time ago.
Yeah, he approved Merkel's phone tapping 3 years ago. That he's saying, oh, I didn't know anything about your phone tapping.
Yes, convenient memory loss.
Yeah.
Isn't that honest and refreshing?
Isn't it, though? President Barack Obama was, this is by the Telegraph, the British paper, President Barack Obama was told about monitoring of German chancellor in 2010 and allowed it to continue, says German newspaper. President Barack Obama was dragged into the transatlantic spying row after it was claimed he personally authorized the monitoring of Angela Merkel's phone 3 years ago. The president allegedly allowed U.S. intelligence to listen to calls from her mobile phone after he was briefed on the operation. And the latest claim reported in the German newspaper Bild am Sonntag follows reports in Der Spiegel that the surveillance of Mrs. Merkel's phone began as long as back as 2002. That she was still the opposition leader 3 years before being elected chancellor. That monitoring only ended in the weeks before Mr. Obama visited Berlin in June this year, the magazine added. Holy God. And citing leaking U.S. intelligence documents, it also reported that America conducted eavesdropping operation on the German government from a listening post at its embassy. Alright? And it doesn't look good. And it says, citing leaked U.S. intelligence, they reported the American, I read that, and Mr. Obama, European allies, will now ask him to say what he personally knew about the NSA's global eavesdropping operation and its targeting of world leaders, including those from friendly states. The White House declined to comment on the German media report. But, you know, now he's saying, he said today that he didn't know anything, you know, at least 5 years. You didn't know anything for the last 5 years.
Well, as I said to you before, the National Security Agency or whatever it was, their defense was, everybody's doing it, so what?
Yeah,
well, as I said to you, all I could think of is when my daughter was 13 and she wanted to go to a dance, and I told her she couldn't, and she told me everybody was doing it, and so therefore she should do it, you know? And that's the... That's the way they sounded. They sounded like whiny pre-teenagers.
Really, yeah.
I mean, what a childish defense they presented.
I know.
None with no moral credibility.
No.
No guidance, no anything.
No,
everybody's doing it, so we're doing it too.
Yeah.
And then Dick Cheney was on somewhere, and he was saying it was for national security because of the terror threats we're under. I mean, really. They're just these people. They're so inane and so lacking in credibility.
Yeah. You know.
And they all sound like whiny little girls. So I can think their defense is so silly and so lack any kind of moral compass.
Yeah. Oh, it's very true. You know. Oh, this is so funny. It wasn't really funny, but it was kind of sick.
What's that?
Well. The NSA lied, okay, that the agency lacks evidence. It says it lacks evidence that it thwarted 54
terrorist attacks.
Yeah, it just says, in the United States government used a broad surveillance authority as effective a counterterrorism tool as advocates make it out to be. A new report suggests remarks made by high power figures to defend the spy powers are largely exaggerated.
Hmm.
Yeah. And influential members of Congress and the intelligence community alike continue to contend the secret of national security agency tactics made public by Edward Snowden earlier this year with Dianne Feinstein, the chairwoman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, defending those programs as recently as this week. In a highly read USA Today op-ed. But now she's saying, oh, no, she condemned, you know, she just came out today condemning.
Oh, she jumped off the ship.
Yeah, she condemned NSA's tapping Merkel's phone,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Allies' phone. Yeah, she said that's too much. So, anyway, it turns out that, you know, 54 different terrorist-related activities by replying that provided to whatever,
By spying, but
we know that at least 50 threats have been averted.
Well, we don't have any evidence of that.
Yeah, and its first noted leak in less than a month later, NSA Director Elder presented at a Las Vegas security conference and claimed to the crowd that those programs thwarted 54 different attacks. The 54 figure has since been touted not just by lawmakers but by the press as well. ProPublica noted that the House Intelligence Committee. Mike Rogers, a Republican from Michigan, has used the statistic to support the program. He says, but while most of the NSA's activities remain classified, Elliot Meyer managed to crunch the numbers of what are available, in turn exposing large inaccuracies in the administration's claims. And although General Alexander initially said the NSA thwarted 54 terrorist attacks, a declassified chart released by his agency in July revealed that in actuality, intelligence from the programs on 54 occasions have attributed to the U.S. understanding of terrorism activities and in many cases has enabled the destruction of potential terrorist events at home and abroad. But it doesn't say how many. And the chart goes on to show that those 54 total events, 42 were actually disrupted. Only four of those have actually been identified by the NSA. All right? And the ProPublica has provided evidence for each of them, suggesting that powers made possible through Section 7712 and 215 may not have been necessary with regards to one foil plot and so on and so forth. But NSA has been inconsistent on how many plots it has helped prevent and what the role of surveillance programs played, Elliot Meyer wrote. The agency has often made hedged statements that avoid any sweeping assertions about attacks thwarted. So, it's kind of funny that, you know, because 54, they can't even verify, you know?
Yeah.
They can't even verify, and they can only verify less than 42, and it's kind of weird. But, anyway, I wanted to go up to a couple of health issues. The other day, Hawaii went radioactive last Wednesday. Did you know that?
No.
Yep. Hawaii went radioactive yesterday. This was on the 24th.
With spiking radiation readings as shown in both of the two charts that they have here.
Yeah. The reports on the Pacific Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that. I knew it was coming. I got another report on the Fukushima, too, which is horrible.
Hawaii went radioactive yesterday with spiking radiation readings as shown in both of the two charts below from black cap systems showing huge spikes in radiation levels with reports of the Pacific Ocean dying and radiation levels rising throughout much of the West Coast according to this scariest chart. Is the Fukushima making its impact here in America? According to the alarming video below, Fukushima is now in fuel rod meltdown after heavy rains and a power blackout that we have not been made aware of by the mainstream media. After the heavy rains and power blackout, which TEPCO forgot to mention, since then a dramatic rise in radiation level is being reported and a few TEPCO workers have spilled the beans on what is really happening.
And this is quite frightening if you look at this chart.
Yeah.
Currently show a high level, 160, elevated 163 for Hawaii at this moment. And it's a little long. This is a little too long. Let me play a few minutes.
Yeah, let's just hear a little bit of what they have to say.
Japan reports highly likely molten, whatever.
Meltdown. Let's play now.
The Japan reports highly likely molten fuel may be escaping from the Fukushima.
It's under the ground.
I don't know what that's crazy. Oh, it's music.
Oh.
Radiation music.
Inside barriers, surrounding tanks that store contaminated water. Workers discovered it had flowed over the barriers at 11 spots. In six areas, they detected levels of radioactive strontium above the government safety limit. The highest rating was more than 70 times the standard. Now the workers are trying to find out whether some of the water flowed through ditches and into the Pacific Ocean. The barriers are designed to contain any tainted water that leaks from the tanks. The walls are fitted with drainage pipes. Initially, whenever it rained, workers opened the pipes to discharge rainwater. But in August, they found that 300 tons of highly radioactive water had leaked from one of the tanks. It traveled through a pipe to the area beyond the barrier. Workers decided to shut off all the pipes and pump out any water that collected inside the containment area. They now check the pumped out water for radioactivity to ensure it meets government standards. Heavy rains are making that job a lot harder. Managers plan to install more pumps around the tanks to make sure they can deal with any amount of water. They say they don't want to get caught out the next time a storm hits. Masaki Otake, NHK World.
In Fukushima Prefecture to evacuate as they were living in areas where radiation levels exceeded 20 millisieverts per year. The government is conducting decontamination work to lower the levels. The IAEA did the research in Fukushima this month at the request of Japan's government. Inspectors checked the progress of the decontamination and made a preliminary report. The agency said the work was progressing well, but the 1 millisievert goal cannot be achieved soon through decontamination alone. It stressed that the government should try to explain to the public that an individual radiation dose from 1 to 20 millisievert per year is in line with the international standards. It suggested that reallocating resources to the recovery of essential infrastructure would benefit the public, and that more effort is needed to monitor individual doses to decide on decontamination.
You have to select the appropriate value of protection, level of protection, in the range from 1 to 20 millisievert for these specific existing exposure situations.
Thank you very much.
Japan's government did not specify how it would reflect the advice in its policies.
The government will continue working on the decontamination process along with reconstruction efforts. We also want to deepen our relationship with the international community.
It goes on for another 20 minutes.
I'll bet they don't say anything.
And I, you know, they're just trying to cover everything up.
Yeah.
But it's really frightening. And if you look at this letter, they have this this report on how
it's affecting the United States.
Yep. How the United States and the radioactive air and water and so on is coming in, and it's really staggering.
So what are those little symbols on the map?
Well, this is high radiation and low radiation levels.
The red is high?
The radon, red, this is normal.
What's normal?
The green.
Green.
And this is three times elevated.
And what's brown?
Brown is four times. So there's a whole bunch of areas that are four times.
And we have it on
all
the east
on
coast.
The west coast.
No, we have it on the east coast.
That is radon rising. This is rising. Radiation level is rising on the east coast. It's already high in the south.
Yeah.
Right, and it's already very, very high on the west coast.
Yep.
So, you know, it's like...
And there are places in the center where
yeah.
there's nothing.
And that's here, over here, it's like A is red, Radon 5 alert over here on the
west coast.
The far,
looks like north. San Diego area.
Whatever that area is there.
San Diego.
Down here. And then up here, then along San Francisco and up through the coast, it's all high levels of four. Level 4, Radon 4 level. But it's amazing. So, and we're in trouble, folks. Holy crap.
Sure,
I mean, we are in serious damn trouble. It's amazing to me that they can actually do this.
Fellow patriot, there's a reason why the U.S. government is so eager to disarm the American people. It's got little to do with crime rates or mass murders, but everything to do with the very reason the Second Amendment was created for, to protect the people from a tyrannical government. Because when a major disaster hits the USA, a recent executive order allows FEMA to confiscate your food stockpile, and just like in the old USSR, to give it to the government-dependent masses.
This is more or less than that, but I wanted to... But there's a couple of really big articles I wanted to read tonight, too.
That's
scary.
Isn't
that scary? Yeah. Unbelievable.
And there's not much you can do about it.
This one was kind of a frightening thing on money. But this one might make those. We only get 10 minutes. Let me see if I can. Oh, yeah. We got, since that day, this October 24th, two typhoons set to collide over Fukushima around Thursday. Okay, that was last Thursday.
Yeah.
And we haven't, those have hit, but we haven't heard anything.
No.
So it's really pretty freaky out there. So, yeah. There's just so much stuff. So much stuff. By the way, Teflon, for anybody who's into Teflon, DuPont was sued multiple times as court-backed science panel finds chemical C8 used in Teflon causes cancer.
Mm.
All right? So don't use, we get Teflon. We just bought a Teflon for coated pan.
We did?
Yeah.
What happened, This is
you have to see this. This is something that somebody sent to me. Police officer in Rhode Island was handcuffed this woman, put her on the ground, and kicked her in the head.
Oh my God!
Rhode Island police officer Edward Cross received no jail time for this brutal assault. Now, it was really quite a frightening picture. Brutal assault on this seated and handcuffed woman. Now he wants his job back. And it says, Sheriff, you don't want that to happen. And really quite frightening. I mean, look at this.
Yeah, what was that all about?
It didn't say, really.
What precipitated that or anything?
It didn't say anything about it.
She looks like she's handcuffed.
She is. She's handcuffed behind. It's really pretty brutal sight. But, anyway. There's so much to cover, you know. Top 7 natural cures for cancer that got buried by the FDA.
That's probably an interesting article.
You should probably read
that
one. And, let me see.
Yeah, I'd like to see that one.
The two typhoons, it's a sad situation. But I think we should really talk about, here. No, then I forget that 10 superfoods for babies and toddlers.
Well, that's
and more radioactive.
Yeah, we already
radiation.
We already read about that. We just read about that.
I know, but it's even more. Okay, top seven natural. Maybe we can share something good for you here.
Something that you can do.
Yeah, top seven natural cures for cancer.
That got buried by the the FDA, the AMA, and the CDC.
Yeah.
Okay.
And natural. How do you keep the spread of cancer growing? Bury the cure. How do you keep 1.5 million Americans infested yearly with mutated cells that multiply uncontrollably? You breed cancer in food and medicine. How many years ago did America start this evil strategy to make people sick and deny them the cure? Nearly 100 years. Where did it really start? The American Medical Association and a man named Morris Fishbein, who single-handedly removed nutrition from medical schools in the U.S. and installed a fake seal of approval for harmful lab-made drugs that made cancer worse. What else could Fishbein do?
Just in case you doubters and skeptics want some concrete proof, some evidence to take with you on your journey not to get cancer, here are some historical proven facts to help you understand why you need to go 100% organic and research and use natural remedies to build your immunity to disease with superfoods, herbs, tinctures, and organic supplements. Let's begin the journey of truth and the not-so-healthy history of medicine in this bold country we call the land of the free. Let's begin with the top seven cures for cancer that the mainstream media will never admit to because their advertising money comes from Big Pharma, the GMO agricultural giants Monsanto, DuPont, Bayer, Dow Chemicals, etc., and lobbyists and politicians who make their money off stocks in cancer therapies that don't work. Number one.
Yeah. The AMA once paid a cancer virus researcher $250,000 to retire in Mexico and stop working on natural cures.
Number two, Brzezinski documentary reveals the true agenda of the FDA and the cancer industry to destroy cancer cures that really work.
Number three, Dying to Have Known documentary features Gerson's therapy, Natural Cancer Cure.
Number four, Harry Hoxie, guilty of curing cancer with herbs.
Number five, magic mushrooms could treat depression, but clinical trials are necessarily delayed by drug laws.
Number six, marijuana, a cure for cancer.
And seven, beat cancer with 35% hydrogen peroxide. Wow. Pay it forward 100 years. Nearly 100 years ago, the AMA began removing nutritional education from medical schools in America. Medical doctors would no longer understand anything about using food and medicine or be able to suggest it. You know, midwives, Native American herbalists and natural healers would be referred to in medical journals as quacks. The Western medicine philosophy would soon come to be that no food in the world could ever heal a human being or cure any disease or disorder. In fact, only pharmaceuticals and vaccines would ever be able to make them claim legally and get away with it, whether in peer-reviewed medical and science journals or scientific studies or labeled as such products. And currently, it is illegal for any food, herb, or tincture or superfood product to say that it cures anything. Yet medications advertised on TV since 1997 can say they treat all kinds of diseases and disorders, even though the side effects are horrendous, and some of the time including internal bleeding and suicide. Mother Nature, on the other hand, has a cure for everything, and also offers prevention and immunity for everything under the sun. Nutritionists and naturopathic physicians will tell you all day that the organic fruits and vegetables are the key to health, to healing and living a healthy life. A plant-based diet can heal nearly any health problem, and the body is like a machine that fires on all cylinders when given the correct fuel. Take this knowledge and be on your way to health, freedom, and natural living, where you have lots of energy, rarely ever get sick, can think critically all the time, can be spiritual and independent, and take care of your family. And follow natural news and track the truth. Learn and grow from it. Don't eat cancer. Don't drink cancer. Be organic. I agree with you. 100%. This is a great site, folks. If you get a chance to read it, go to naturalnews.com. It tells you, it really...
Was that the Health Ranger?
Yeah. It's a very good thing. Oh, let's see. Well... I could say more, but I don't know if I want to say more than that.
You can read some headlines.
This is a good one. Let's do the superfoods for babies and toddlers.
Yeah, we just have about 4 minutes. And this is from Natural News.
Yeah, this will help people.
Let's go right down to the foods.
Superfoods.
Avocados are the best first food for your baby. They have perfect consistency.
Well, it says babies and toddlers do not eat much food because their tummies are tiny. That is why it is important to feed them foods that are packed with nutrients. And superfoods are natural foods that are high in nutrients and antioxidants and packed with health-giving properties. They are easily digestible and keep the body and mind healthy and work great. These 10 superfoods are essential for babies and toddlers' growing bodies.
Avocados.
Yeah, that's good.
Beans, blueberry, coconut. How about that? What's another one there?
Chia seeds.
Chia is like the chia pet.
Yeah.
Dark leafy greens.
Yeah, like what's in that? I guess it'd be spinach. And,
lettuces.
Iron.
Eggs.
Cage-free, organic, preferably. Eggs are full of high-quality nutrients for your baby. They contain choline, B vitamin, and play an important role in development and function of baby's brain. Eggs are full of protein and omega-3s, as well as vitamin D. Okay.
Oats.
Oats are a good source of soluble and insoluble fiber. They are also rich in phytochemicals, vitamin E, zinc, iron, magnesium, and selenium. Oats are a good source of protein, great way to start the morning. The only problem, use oats, you add your own toppings, such as nuts, fruits, drizzle, or azali. The only problem with oats is they can be glutinous, okay? They do have gluten in them. If you have a celiac problem or anything, don't eat it. Quinoa is a complete protein, making it perfect for vegetarian babies. It is high in lysine and
amino acids.
It's important for tissue growth and repair.
Good fiber.
Quinoa is a good amount of fiber and high in nutrients such as magnesium, has a very high iron content. And quinoa is a gluten-free grain and is an alternative to whole grain rice in many people's food recipes. Oh, okay. Mm. I have to check that out.
Yeah, gluten-free.
Quinoa. Yeah, I have to check that too.
Yeah.
I need a gluten-free diet.
And sweet potatoes, that's number 10.
Yeah,
those are great.
Like those too, yeah. Among the most nutritious vegetables available. They are rich in phytonutrients and high in vitamins A and C and have a natural sweet flavor and creamy texture, making these vegetables appealing to babies and toddlers. And lilac.
Yes, I love sweet potatoes. They're delicious.
So anyway, but that's, we're right at the end of the show. And I want to thank everybody. I hope you got something out of it tonight. We sure try to bring you the best that we can.
Yeah.
And,
take care and stay tuned tomorrow night.
And we'll be on tomorrow night, hopefully with Larry Dorman, our union guy. And we'll be talking about Obamacare and all the things that are...
See what he has to say. He might have a different take from us
on
it.
I'm very curious to see. I'm hoping he'll be on. But anyway, I want to thank everybody for joining us. And have a good night and join us tomorrow.
Good night, folks.
And tell your friends about us. And, yeah. Okay. Let me find my music here. Maybe my music is on. Oh, no. You don't have music.
What happened to it?
I don't know.
It's not listed?
No, it's not.
Play? Try another one. See if another one. Frozen?
Yeah, that's okay. Here's one. I don't know what it is, but it might be the one. So here we go. Good night, everybody.